Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, here with John Harry Turan, and we are going to talk about event formation. From vaporizing clouds to vaporizing our problems, clouds are like problems, and learning the strategy and methods of how to vaporize them, you can use the same techniques to rid yourself of your problems. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Steve, and you?
I'm doing fine, thank you, and it's such an honor to be speaking with you about this because this is something that I'm intrigued about. You know, with many of our other conversations that have to do with metaphysical topics, I've got a little bit of a background to come at you with some questions and so forth. But on this one, I have no information other than what I've just shared, which is what you gave me ahead of time, and I am wide open to learning about this. So let's jump right in and talk about event formation.
Yeah, this is a really interesting one, and the reason I find it fascinating is that it's not one thing. It's not like we're taking a course in grad school called Event Formation 586 or something. It's like we're taking all the things that we have learned in all the earlier sessions, putting them together and coming up with something that would explain to us a lot more. Somewhat like, you know, before you really can spell the word rat or cat or dog, you have to be familiar with the alphabet. And if you're not, then you probably should learn that first. Well, we got through a lot of stuff in the earlier sessions about peace, quietness, dreaming, visualization, law of attraction, the sense and nonsense of it, and everything you could think of that leads to this part of what we're dealing with. We even dealt with whispers from the universe, dreams, and so forth. So now we get to the part, what is event formation? Well, it's exactly what it says. It's forming events. What do you mean by forming events, John? Exactly what it means. Do you want, there are only two things we've got to deal with here. One is physical things, and the other ideas or events. Events are stuff, things, experiences that come to us in time. Physical things are like, yeah, in time I'll buy the Rolls Royce, or I'll ride with my friend Joe Vitale, or buy the little Ford, or I'll get something, or move to a new house from one place to another thing. Whereas in event formation, we're forming the whole thing, okay? We create a situation in that whatever it is we want, we start working towards it. And again, since we went through the first one about the law of attraction, I'm not talking about that now because that is so involved in this. That was like learning the alphabet. Now we're spelling words like mosquitoes. So it's at a higher level now where we're putting together everything we know to form a life that we want, which means, do you want to be something else than you are? The work that you're doing right now, do you want to have a different kind? Do you want to bring to you or have the mate of your choice or your life or a number of them, if you so desire? Do you want a lot of money? Do you want to create an event where, if you like traveling, you find yourself going all over the place to the places you love to travel in? Well, this is what event creation is. And it's not very difficult, not like any of the other things. No more difficult than any of the other stuff we talked about. Now, Steve started by mentioning vaporizing clouds, just as easy as vaporizing problems. Let me tell you about the cloud vaporizing thing and what I discovered in this long, long run here on Earth. When I was just about 3 or 4 or 5 years old, I used to lie on my back under a tree or someplace in my father's yard, and I'd look up at the sky. Being a tropical country right next to the Atlantic, there are always clouds moving by. There's always dark clouds or light white clouds and every kind of type of clouds you could think of. And even then, I used to wonder about these clouds. I'd look at them and say, you know, that one looks like a lion. Mind you, I never saw a lion in my life at that stage of the game. But I had read in a little book and saw a picture of one. That one looks like a lion. This one looks like a tree. That one looks like a car. That one looks like a house. that one looks like a person. Oh, and there's one that looks like an angel. Well, an angel must be someone who has wings. So I'd look at these clouds and I'd see them pass by, and a kind of calm feeling would come over me. Since you are one of the top hypnotherapists around, Steve, you know what it is like to get calm, or get one of your clients or patients calm. It changes everything in their perspective when they become calm. So under a calm feeling, I'd look up at the clouds and I'd think to myself, you know, that one is a little too big. I wish it were smaller. And not knowing anything about vaporizing clouds, not knowing anything about most things at that age, 4 or 5, what does a little kid really know at that age? But I'd notice a strange thing that would happen. The cloud would get a little smaller. And it never occurred to me that I had anything to do with it. And I would do that on and off until I got to the ripe old age of maybe 6 or 7 or 8, and I forgot the magic. I forgot that which I knew. I did not realize that maybe I was having something to do with that cloud. I also realized that sometimes when I thought, well, there are too many of them there, maybe one of those clouds should leave, or 2 or 3, and in a short while, they'd be gone. I wasn't that surprised, because it always happened, until many, many years later I forgot all about that, and clouds, and vaporization of clouds. And I read this book called Illusions by one of my favorite author, Richard Bach, and your author, favorite author too, one of them, Steve, and there is this part about Richard was sitting somewhere and just for the heck of it, vaporizing clouds. And I remembered what I used to do. And I thought, oh, that's what it is. And so the entire summer, as we went down to the shore and did other things, I'd sit there and I'd look at the clouds and poof, they'd be gone. Some of them were a little bit more terrible than others, bigger and looked more, they looked angrier, and they took a little while, but all the time they would disappear. Until one day, I said, this is so easy. Of course, you don't confide that you do this to too many people, or else if you do, I think they will take you away to the Massachusetts home for the mentally bewildered. So I never told many people about this. All I did was I just kept practicing, and one day there was a giant, beautiful blue sky, and I said to myself, isn't it simple? If you could get rid of clouds just by thinking them gone, how about this? Can you create clouds by thinking them there in just a blue, empty sky? And as I did that, and I looked up, there was this little whisper or wisp of a cloud that appeared, and then it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden, lots of little clouds started popping up out of the blue, and I said, it's just as easy to make them disappear as to make them reappear or create them. Now, aren't problems almost like this? We meet a problem, we look at it, we throw lightning bolts at it, we put all our knowledge to work at it, we do everything we can to solve it, and yet sometimes we are so attached to it, most times we're so attached to it that we can't do it, we can't get rid of that problem. Just like a few times where I'm looking at this giant cloud and I pick the giant, the meanest cloud you could find, and I'm working on it, but I'm being distracted by lots of other things. I'm thinking about, what am I going to have for dinner tonight? How am I going to make that bill? How am I going to catch that train or plane or bus or car or whatever? How am I going to do this? And I'm distracted, and there's that mean-looking cloud looking, just keep looking at me, until I dropped all my concern about all the other things, got quiet inside, and gently, gently saw the cloud disappear. It takes what I call not a force to do it, but a non-force to remove yourself from making things happen to allowing things to happen. And if we can do that with clouds or many other things, we certainly can do it with problems. We can remove ourselves from standing in the way of the problem. The problem doesn't really want to be in your way, but it's there because you're holding it to you. It really wants to go away and do its own problem thing, if you will. But we just hold on to it like it's my problem. Notice how we say it, my problem. We have a deed of ownership. Like when we own a car, we have a title to it. It's like my car, my problem. Notice how we talk about headaches at times. My headache, my aching neck, my poor foot, my, and you name every disease you could think of. This is mine. Like we're claiming ownership. What we've got to do to exactly to create events, or what I like to, I coined the term many years ago, event formation, to be able to deal with that, is to let go of these things, to get out of the way of these things, not to be so attached to them, because when we're attached to them, they're attached to us. And if we don't let them go, we can't create the events we like. The story is told about in Africa, they used to catch monkeys by a number of the catchers or hunters that go into the jungle where these monkeys were with these long-necked bottles, and they'd put some nuts in the bottles. And they'd just leave them under trees, and then they'd go sit down somewhere by their tent and have a drink and talk and so forth. And then late in the afternoon, they'd go back and they'd see all these monkeys hopping around with this these bottles attached to their hands, their long hands. See what happened when they saw these bottles with the nuts? They put their hands and arms right into the neck of the bottle, and they could get their hands into it. And then they'd grab a handful of nuts. Now, they wouldn't let go of the nuts, and they're trying to pull that handful of nuts out of the bottle. But because now the fist is bigger than it was when they put it in there, into the bottle, to grab their problem, so to say, or their joy, now they can't get rid of it. And the hunters just picked them up and put them in the cages and took them to the zoos all over the world. They used to do that. Now, I don't think the monkeys ever figured that all they had to do to have freedom was to open their palms, or open the palm that's in there, open the hand, and let the nuts go, and then pull out the nuts, or then turn the bottle upside down. But monkeys don't think that way. And we, too, many times, don't think that way when we're holding on to what we call, quote-unquote, my problem, my poor financial situation, my terrible health, my this, my that, instead of saying, if we keep referring it to mine, then I own the thing. It really becomes mine. And when it's mine, nobody can take it away from me. But if I do not own it, and I refer to this problem as the problem or a temporary situation, and just think about that, guess what? It won't stay with you. It doesn't want to be with you, but you're holding it back. It's, we got to know the difference between motion and direction. Motion being, you know, you're rowing away from the shore, but your boat is pointed to the other side, and you're rowing and rowing and like crazy, and you aren't going anywhere. You're not moving because the boat is tied to the dock. And that's what we do with our problems. I think if we could see through a different set of glasses, magic glasses, and we look at us, we will find that we are walking around and we have a whole bunch of things tied to our necks and backs and arms and everything, and we call them our problems. How are we doing so far, Steve?
I think we're doing great, John. It's always just so fascinating to hear the information that you have. You know, I have many thoughts about what you've been saying, and I'm sure that the people listening do as well. One of the things that comes to mind when we talk about event formation, you talk about dealing with clouds when you were talking about clouds, is the movie The Men Who Stare at Goats, starring George Clooney. Have you seen that movie?
I saw parts of it. I wanted to see it, and I forgot it was out there. But I know a little bit about it, and we're talking about basically the same thing.
Yeah, in the movie, just to bring everyone up to speed who hasn't seen it, George Clooney's character does something called cloud bursting. And the reason I'm referencing a movie is because the movie is based on the United States government's explorations into psychic warfare, creating a soldier who was also like a guru who would have access to psychic powers and could use them in combat. So the United States of America spent a fair amount of money looking into how they could create a new soldier. And as part of this, they went on a bit of a spiritual journey. And as part of that journey, they discovered something called cloud bursting, which is an exercise that's done in the movie by the character George Clooney, but he's representing an actual character who did it. The representation, rather, is of people in the Army and what they did in the United States Army. And he stares at clouds. And by staring at them and concentrating and calling on certain metaphysical principles, he's able to actually manipulate the clouds and cause them to move. So if you're listening to what John is saying, you're thinking, well, I don't know. Just think about this. The United States government has invested a lot of money into this because they believe it.
Absolutely, and they keep doing it all the time. I mean, way back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, not only our government, but the Russian government have been experimenting with some of these, what they tend to call strange powers, but which yogis and masters do not call strange at all. They just think of them as natural, just natural abilities we have, which we haven't used for eons, maybe for thousands, 10,000 years. You would be amazed how wonderful we are with all the things we can do and create if we were to take a good look at ourselves. I know that one of the things that the U.S. government worked with at length with, I think it was in cooperation with Drew University, not quite sure, but I know it's being done in a lot of universities. It was called remote viewing, where somebody just lies down someplace and starts thinking of a certain place or an address and then just see what comes into his mind and report it. And you would be amazed how many times they were very, very close to the actual thing. The U.S. government was doing that based on the thought that wouldn't it be great if we can communicate with the captain of one of our submarines 1,000, 2,000 miles away without sending any radio signals or any other signals that could be picked up by an enemy. Now, even Richard Bach took part in one of those experiments of remote viewing, and a lot of other research is going on today about how things work and how they don't, but we don't read about it because we're so busy wondering about every other thing there is. Look at the economy, look at the health situation, look at the politicians. Whichever side you're on, the other side isn't that great. You know, it's like, what is it I used to say? I read it somewhere, the little ditty that said, "In matters controversial, my perception's mighty fine. I always see both points of view, the one that's wrong and mine." And so we're looking around and we're busy dissecting, dissecting, intersecting, cutting up little things to examine the parts. It's like trying to study the nature of a rose by pulling its petals apart, or trying to study the nature of a cell in the human body by killing it. There are different ways to do that. There are people who could communicate with the very cells in your body. You don't think so? Well, what do you think you do? You do instantaneously. When you are afraid, when you are shocked with great fear, immediately there, you didn't have to say to yourselves, "Now look, cells, and look, body, I'm scared, so get some adrenaline out there." It just happens immediately, and your entire body is ready for fight or flight. So this cloud vaporizing thing, the seeing at the distance, the movie, The Men Who Stare at Goats, or any of these things, they are just natural things that many of us refuse to believe because we've been hypnotized. We've been hypnotized to thinking or ordinary thoughts, not to look behind the curtain, so to say. You remember The Wizard of Oz? It was the mighty Oz, the little guy behind the curtain. It was no wizard. It was just a little something. And again, we go back to one of the things Richard Bach said. Know what the magician knows, and it's not magic any longer. Know how to vaporize clouds? Just try it out. In fact, this is not strange at all, because since that time, I have explained to other people who just, oh, look, this is one that happened 2 weeks ago. Somebody wrote me from, I think it was Hawaii. I get letters, email from all over the world. And he said, you know, I was reading your book, When You Can Walk on Water, Take the Boat. And I remember you mentioned that cloud vaporizing thing you did. And so I thought, huh, it's a really good book, but vaporizing clouds. So he said, I was going to the beach and I thought, why don't I try that? He said, would you believe in my second, third try, it started working? I couldn't believe it. I was so shocked. And then I thought, this is so simple. It's just a way of visualizing them in a gentle fashion, not visualizing them disappearing like, I'm going to whack it with a 1 million volt lightning bolt. I am going to just crush it and do. It's like saying again to somebody, I am going to like you even if it kills me. That's force. We have to do it with non-force. You just look at the cloud and see it going away. And then if I were to mention some names, I'm sure, well, I can mention one, Yannick Silver. Many, many people who are in the internet marketing area know of Yannick Silver, one of the bright young internet gurus that came up over the past 10 years. And Yannick and I go way back, and he read my books, and then he asked about the cloud vaporizing thing. Now, if you think he's crazy, you could say, yeah, he's crazy millions of dollars, because when he was, you know, like a kid, for me, anybody under a certain age as a kid, when he was in his 20s, now he's in his 30s, he has accumulated a fortune. He hangs out at times with Sir Richard Branson and some people you'd recognize their names. And one day he calls me so excited. And I wonder, what's the matter with Yannick? And he was driving home with his in his convertible Mercedes. In those days, he was poor. He could only afford Mercedes and things like that. And he was so excited on the phone. And I said, Yannick, what's the matter? What's going on? He said, it works, John, it works. I said, what works? He says, here I'm driving home, and I'm looking up at the sky, and there are the clouds, and I thought I'd try to make a couple of them disappear, and they did. It is fascinating. To this day, we laugh about that experience. Substitute for clouds, problems. Think of problems as clouds. Some of them are not that bad. They're nice little white clouds and flying, scurrying across the sky. Just like some problems are not that big. They're just like little problems scurrying in our reality picture. What would be a little problem? Here's a little problem. It's raining and I got to go to my mailbox to pick up my mail. And if I were to make it a big deal, I said, oh my gosh, it couldn't wait until I got my mail. You know, like the rain was listening. Like it's such a big deal to pick up my mail and it's raining. Wait an hour, go get the mail. That's a little problem. Because if that's a problem, if somebody thinks that's a problem, then you really, really have problem. But there are other problems that have to do with, well, I don't know, there isn't enough money to pay the mortgage this month and we only have 7 days to go. How do we deal with that? Exactly like how we vaporize clouds. You have to have a knowing within you. You have to really feel that something good is going to happen. And then it seems, you know, we think that we look out with our eyes and information comes into us. And some of the many people trained in being a yogi master would say, no. Instead, we're looking out and sending an awareness beam that influences everything we're seeing. Now, I tend to, you know, it's tough to believe that, but I tend to lean towards that because it's like you're looking at something and something is happening to the thing you're looking at. And I might have mentioned a few talks ago that in college we used to play a little game. A number of us at the dining room table, you know, being boys or kids, you know, still early 20s or teenagers, we're sitting there and we all agree to stare at the back of somebody. And as we do, the person would turn around and look at us and have no idea why he or she did that. And so if we think about it and we create this gentle energy and send it out, it's like affecting the thing, the observer effect. If we believe it, because remember I said some of these things are going to come back over and over again, believing, trusting the process. I'm not saying not doubting. I doubt things every day, maybe 3 to 5 times a day. It's like in Alice in Wonderland when the Queen said something and Alice said, "That's impossible. You can't do impossible things." And I'm using from memory here. I'm not reading the exact words. And then the Queen said, "Oh, yeah, I do about 5 impossible things every day before lunch." We can do all these things if we believe we can do them. If we don't think we can do them, then why bother? We have been totally hypnotized into believing we can't do them.
That's very well put, John. And I think that so many of us live under hypnosis without realizing it because we've convinced ourselves that certain things are out of our reach, not of our realm, and beyond what we'll accomplish. And if we just let go of that, then I think we'll find that life flows more smoothly for us.
It is a letting go. They have an old saying, let go and let God, and that's wonderful. But then again, all these old things get to a point of becoming meaningless because we've heard them so many times. But if we always see the newness in them, we will always be excited by the meanings. That's why I like affirmations. Affirmations are very powerful. They're like mantras. They repeat themselves and they go into the subconscious and they set you right and they cause you to see right. And when you see things right, you don't have much of a problem. And when you have a problem, just look right through. Listen, if you are looking in front of you and there's a shadow, a problem, a shadow before you, all it means is that your face is turned away from the light, that the light is at your back. If you want to brighten the whole scene, you turn around and you face the light. And many of these little metaphors and sayings that I use, they help us think. They assist us to understand. Yes, if you want to think of it this way, I have been trained in some very, very technical fields. But you know what? I don't like to use technical language to explain simple things because it is so much easier when somebody says, look, this is what it's like. 1, 2, 3, 4. Most people would understand that if it's simple enough and it's clear enough. Now, don't you think we should talk to ourselves like this and use it simple, clear, honest, and feel it deeply? Because as we feel it, as we know it, as we believe it, and as we trust it, so it becomes.
I completely agree with that, John, and I look forward to getting into more information about event formation and taking charge of our lives as we continue to explore this topic.
Thank you, Steve. Be happy. The next moment, when we start, I'll tell you about the $112 million woman.
I am ready to hear that story.